If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, Rod. We have two preseason games in the books for the 49ers. I would say this game was a little bit better than the first one, though there were still some interesting things happening in the game, and it's also just preseason football. But Jake Moody got tested, at least. He had to kick five times and made four of them. There were some, a couple of them didn't look great, but he put them in, and then he just missed one that did not seem, it was a long one, but it didn't really mm-hmm. have a chance. But who else stood out for you in the game in which the Niners won 22-19 at the very last second?
Jeff Wilson looked good. Chase Lucas made a couple more plays today, which was I think he's solidifying a role on the team for himself. Those are the two guys that really stood out to me. Pearsall and Purdy seemed to be in midseason form. Was good to see. That's pretty much it in terms of like the good that I walked away from. I mean, it's not like I'm surprised. You know, Wilson's a pro. So,
yeah.
You know, and when you factor in the fact that he is a professional running back coupled right. with the guys that he was playing against, it didn't shock me that he looked good. But, you know, for, you know, all the attrition that we've had at that position, I think he's a solid, you know, two behind Purdy behind CMC until we're able to get some of those other guys back. I mean, we don't really know what we have with Jordan James. Garindo was good last year. It just seems like he's another one of those race car guys. It was interesting. You know, they have Mostert over there on the other side, and he's just another one of those fast guys. Yeah. And it just seems, you know, it's those guys are Ferraris, and they spend a lot of time in the garage, it mm-hmm. just seems like. So, he was a good pickup. And it looks like, at least until again, I still have not got a straight answer on what's going on with Juwan, if this is injury related or if it's contract related. But I know, especially after this summer, man, you know, with, you know, as an NBA fan, after Tatum and Halliburton, I'm not going out there with this a strained calf at all. I'm not playing that game. So I'm not going out there until I'm 100% healthy.
Fact of the matter with him is he doesn't even really need to play in the preseason.
Not really.
So if he doesn't have to play, then there should be a little bit more transparency on what this is. And, you know, I think the real reason why 49er fans are kind of like, what's going on, is because of what happened with Christian last year. They downplayed the Christian injury so much, And then he missed the first half of the season only to come back and then get hurt in a different way. So you don't really trust. There's not a lot of trust with the fan base right now as far as the injuries are concerned. And they keep piling up. Another person I wanted to throw out there, Nick Martin. I thought he made a couple of good plays. There was one play where he got beat and then made up for it by breaking up a pass. That it looked like the pass was there. And then as the receiver was coming down with the ball, he was able to punch it out. He looked really fast. I think he over pursued again on another play. Mm-hmm. Winters trucked Genty on one of those plays. Genty actually, of course, you know, he's a high draft pick, but Genty looks like he's going to be a dude, man, if he can stay healthy.
If they can, you know, that's going to be the big thing for him is that, you know, not to say that I was skeptical of him, but if you watch those games at Boise State, it was like there was like nobody around him for like the first 3 or 4 yards. And he was still, that's not to take anything away from him. But I don't know how much of the first game of the Raiders you watched, he didn't have any kind of hole.
Yeah, like I don't think he even had any positive yardage, or if it was.
So against Seattle, it was just there was nothing there, and they did a much better job of blocking for him today. It was today, right?
Yesterday.
For those listening
on Monday, we are recording Sunday evening, so it would have been yesterday, Saturday for us.
Yeah, but he looks good. He really is strong after contact. So he's gonna be a really good player for them.
Going back to Purdy and Pearsall, I'm looking. Of course, we're 49ers fans, and we're always looking for fantasy players who are 49ers because we watch all the games. So it's nice to have some of those guys. And I think Ricky Pearsall is going to be high on a lot of draft boards for sleeper potential, or maybe guys who you may want to take a little bit earlier than most, because of the fact that with no Brandon Ayuk, there's going to be more opportunity for the ball to be spread around. Now, the problem is if he then becomes the sort of the de facto wide receiver that gets the most attention, that's not going to be great for him, because as we know, him getting off of the line has been kind of the weakness of his game so far. So if he can sit in this like second or third receiver role, I think he can eat. But if Jennings is out and Ayuk is going to be out for the beginning, and if he has to be a little bit more of the number one receiver in the offense, that's probably not great for him at the same time.
I don't know how many number one corners he wants to be seeing, because apparently Patrick Surtain was just eating his lunch, you know, in terms of being able to get open. And like you say, that is not where, despite what the fans will say, number one, wide receiver one is not where you want Ricky Pearsall to be. He's not, that's just not who he is. He's not going to route guys open, and he needs to be schemed, and he's like really good. He'd be a really good pick if he's like laying in the cut. You got Jennings, and then once you get Ayuk back, like you say, you can slot him in as in the slot wide receiver three. There will be a lot of opportunities, but hey, maybe you can, you know, maybe a few rounds later, you just go ahead and draft Robbie Chosen, and that would be your he'll be your fantasy sleeper.
Well, I wanted to talk about him, because we saw, so obviously Ricky looked great on that first drive. Mm-hmm. Other guys we saw, Tariq Owens, he made a catch, so we got to see him. And who's the Hopkins made a couple catches as well. And it's like you have like these really young guys, and then you got the OGs with Robbie Chosen and Russell Gage. I guess Gage hasn't been in the league in a couple years because of injury, so he's really trying to make it back on an NFL roster with this team. So
and
it's then like
Jamarcus Robinson. I guess he's supposed to be suspended, isn't he?
Yeah, he's supposed to be suspended. I think I think the Niners are thinking like three games.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's kind of like, you know, he is a man amongst boys in the preseason because he is a, you know, he's
so it's like it's year 10.
Yeah, he's a successful wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah. He's getting reps because they expect him to miss some games, I think. But yeah, like Chosen or Gage, like what do you think about these old guys who are trying to make a roster? And it's almost like, in a sense, they're kind of the Jeff Wilson style.
Mm-hmm.
They're pros, but also as you get older, the injuries are going to be a concern. Maybe you want to invest in younger players because you can develop them. But the Niners are at this interesting crossroads where they kind of need to win this season and next season because their best players outside of Brock, their Kittle and Warner and Trent Williams, you know, you really want to go after it right now for those guys because they're probably not going to be any better than they are now. So do you lean towards some of the vets or do you go, hey, we may need to invest in some of these young players and figure it out? I don't know what the answer is. It's a Shanahan answer, obviously, but it is interesting seeing the OGs out there with the young players.
Well, I just, you know, all I can base it on is what I've seen. We've got a pretty long track record with Kyle at this point. This is what, season 8? You know, Watkins is hurt now. So it's like they say that's like a 3 or 4 week injury, which kind of sucks for him.
Yeah, awful
that
he for
couldn't,
him.
That he couldn't capitalize on the momentum that he was building.
Did you see him get hurt last week? I didn't even notice that he got hurt.
I did not.
How do you get a high ankle sprain and nobody even realizes until the next day?
Mm-mm. But then, you know, what we know about Kyle says that, you know, he's probably not going to play anyway. I mean, I just don't trust when you tell me that, you know, Watkins and Calvin are going to get this large target share. I know that there are going to be opportunities out there, obviously, because you're replacing Debo's 100 targets and, you know, you're going to have, you know, damn near half a season of IU targets that you're going to have to, somebody's going to have to get. And Christian and George can't get all the targets. So you're there with, I would imagine that if last year was any indication, JJ, if he's healthy, he's going to get a large share. And it looks like Ricky could be in line for a large share. But still, you know, you're still talking about 170, 180 targets. That is not going to be concentrated amongst those three or four players. There's somebody else is going to have to get targets, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And, you know, I think that's where, like, as you were suggesting, play well, not so much Robinson, especially if he's missing, you know, 3 weeks. That's where somebody like Gage comes in. And I would just imagine that he's going to see a pretty significant relative to what, you know, for somebody who was out all of last year, I would imagine he's going to see a rather healthy target share. And then you've got somebody like Chosen, who again is a professional receiver. So again, I would think, based on what I know about Kyle, I would pick him to get a bigger target share than somebody like Cowan. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying, if I were handicapping it, I would be leaning towards guys like Gage or Chosen. Not that I would lean towards them, but I would think they would be the guys.
We expect Kyle to go the vet route more so than the young player route in that instance.
Absolutely.
Who was the receiver that the Eagles traded for today? Because I heard that the Mitch. The Niners were in on that, but they did not have as good of a trade deal as the Eagles did, so they did not get him.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's
looking.
A speed guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What did you think about Mac? The only reason I even bring up the backup quarterback here is because, you know, Brock is... He's been hurt already once with the elbow. And, you know, he got dinged up a little bit last year. Because of his size, you always worry about injuries, but he's tough for who he is. You know, you hear the story about, what was it, 3 years ago in Minnesota, where was it Minnesota or Seattle? I think it was Seattle. Maybe he had to take the shot in the ribs and Shanahan didn't know if he was so the guy's tough. But at the same time, you know, this is the NFL and guys could miss games. Mac Jones, Mac Jones, I think if the Niners are a good team, I think Mac Jones could win them a game or two if they need it. I don't think Mac Jones, a healthy dose of 10 games worth of Mac Jones is probably not in your best interest. But, you know, he makes some mistakes. But he's also pretty savvy out there, and I do like seeing what I see from him. But he plays very similarly to Brock at the same time. Like, they kind of make the same throws. They're not gonna knock your socks off with the arm strength. Brock's more athletic in the pocket and running around and creating opportunities. But I kind of like Mac, and I didn't know what I was gonna think about him because the outside of New England, he was kind of like, and some of that is because of the quarterback that they drafted, but a lot of frustration about him coming out of New England. So, but I kind of like what I see from him.
And I think that I have been grading him on the curve in that, you know, he's out there with twos and threes. I think I agree with you that if you have to put Mac in there and he's playing with the ones for a couple of weeks, I think he'd be fine. I mean, you know, he's obviously not Brock, but I'm not really worried about Mac losing us games. You know, I think that he can keep the bus in the middle of the road, you know, if it's a short-term injury. I guess more so than anything, it's the injuries to the offensive line that are concerning to me, and that, you know, now I thought, you know, it looked like Pooney's injury was worse than it ended up being. You know, then he was sitting on the bench and everybody was like, it looked like we dodged a bullet, and now I hear it could be 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's you know, my glass half full. I still can't get to, you know, some people talking about because of the schedule and whatnot that this could be a 12 win team. I don't, that is like extremely optimistic to me. But then, you know, we're at a point now where what do we think about how we are going to, we're like 3 weeks away now. And, yep. We're like a mash unit. I mean, so if we were fully healthy, I still think 12 wins is optimistic, but I don't think at this point, there's no way we get to week one at full strength. And
did you see Shanahan's comment about the injuries?
Mm-mm.
He was like, Well, nobody's out for the season yet.
Well, that's great. I haven't really watched close enough to be able to. I know that Connor Colby had the highest PFF grade among offensive players, which is great. But I hope we do not see Spencer Burford playing any significant snaps, because it's a problem. Our depth at that position. Nick Husis doesn't look like he's any great shakes. It's going to be. And again, I know that it's just been proven at this point that Trent's presence kind of makes everything better. Once he's out there, everything kind of makes a lot more sense. And we were not going to see him in the preseason. So when you're looking at the Raiders really getting stuff done on the defensive line, you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. But I don't think that I'm being a hand wringer when I'm concerned about the offensive line. I think that it's problematic. It's problem, especially when you talk about the importance of Brock, and we really can't afford to be without him for any length of time. If we can, is like I trust Mac to a certain extent, but we're not really going anywhere if Mac is playing an extended period of time. I don't think. I don't think that's being negative to say that. I think we need Brock to play for us to get where we want to go. Brock needs to be out there. Absolutely. and you know, not banged up, but be out there and as healthy as NFL players ever are.
I mean, you can kind of tell, and maybe this is a good thing about Tim Ryan, because I was kind of killing him last game. But you can kind of tell with someone who's as close to the team as he is, when he's trying to explain why something didn't work, who he is willing to blame. I think it was, I don't remember if it was a running play that got blown up or there was a, or, you know, quarterback got hit or something, but he was like, yeah, Zadrill just got blown off the line on that play. I was like, okay, like you're telling us, you know, you're telling us what the real problem was on that thing. So I can tell where your frustration is as a 49ers homer announcer, but also someone who was being as truthful as possible about why the play didn't work. And if there is a failure to this team. Now, I'm a little bit more comfortable with, even though the defense, in both weeks, they're playing against, you know, Geno got to play today, Genty got to play today, so there are a lot of first stringers. And so the defense is getting some reps. They're also missing players, like still no Mykal Williams. It sounds like maybe next week he'll actually get to play. I know a lot of people are a little frustrated with our second round pick, Alfred Collins. I'm a little bit more comfortable in letting kind of the defensive line figure itself out, because there are pieces there. There are new pieces. Bryce Huff's going to play a lot this year on the other side of Bosa, and especially in passing downs and moving some of the other guys on the inside. So I'm sort of okay with moving in and out and figuring out the defensive line, because there are new pieces. The offensive line is the same old pieces. So it's almost like if you guys aren't cohesive right now, then, you know, it's not any great shakes for the regular season, because these are the same guys who were on the team last year.
Right. So if you're talking, you know, how much better is Jake Brendel going to be? Or, you know, we're talking to Ben Bartsch is supposed to be an upgrade over Banks. I mean, I guess I don't, you know, if you say so. And then, you know, Pooney was the lone bright spot. Now he could, you know, I don't know, when you say 2 to 3 weeks now, What does that mean? Does that take us to week one?
Mm-hmm.
Does he miss regular season games? I don't know. And then apparently, I mean, it's not very wide reported, but apparently, you know, our guy McKibbitz wants more money. And we talked about this last week. I mean, we watch him in a vacuum, but apparently at his position, he's like, you know, middle of the road in terms of right.
He's probably going to get the money. It's just probably not going to be with the Niners.
Yeah, kind of like a McClinchy type situation where there's going to be somebody who's willing to pay him. Like we talked about, I guess we went over this last week with Jalen Moore. If somebody's willing to give Jalen Moore $15 million, I think that, you know, McKibbitz is in line for something similar. And yeah. I just don't know, just based on their level of commitment to him up to this point, I think it would be a extreme about face for them to midseason decide that they were going to give him that type of contract. It's wild to me that you hit it on the head when you said last week that there seems to be a market inefficiency at tackle, that guys that you watch in a vacuum and say this guy's not very good, but guess what? I guess they're, you know, better than most.
Any tackle prospect coming out of college football next year, if you're a junior, like, you just need to come out because there's so much space for these tackles. And then, you know, because if the 49ers are unwilling to pay for McKibbitz, who do they fill that spot with? Because if either you're taking back someone else's average player and paying them what mm-hmm. you would have paid McKibbitz, or you're drafting a young player. And that's not what they're doing. They're not drafting tackles. They're kind of, you know, doing the whole thing, you know, what they usually do, which is just the best player available. So that it's not like, if somebody leaves, that they just go, oh, we're putting them right in. Like, this is the Burford problem. It's like, oh, we're going to put Burford in. It's like, well, great, because he's not good. And you have this problem. This is going to be, this seems where the dearth of talent is in the league right now. So if you are a college junior and you have any prospects of getting, you just might as well come out next year, because there's just so much of a need for you as a position.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, you know, if they're going to be where they want to be in terms of price, it's going to have me, because like you say, if they're an even average tackle, they're going to end up paying the same amount of money that McKibbitz is. You're not going to get them for the $5 million that you're paying him, or $7 million, whatever it is that you're paying him now, because the market says that there will be somebody out there who is willing to pay more than that, pay them eight figures, which it kind of boggles the mind, but it looks like that is where the market is for those guys. So like you say, if you are a redshirt sophomore or you're a junior, that you are coming out early because there is a place for you in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get drafted higher than you probably mm-hmm. would in a different time frame as well. So have you been following any of the NFC West stuff? The story with Stafford, which is kind of the same story as it's always been. But it seems as he gets older, the ailments seem a little harder for him to deal with, especially early in the season. So for the Rammies, you know, that is, you know, if you got a, who's their backup? Jimmy G. If you're running mm-hmm. Jimmy G out there and you're a Rams fan and you're thinking, like, you know, with a healthy Matt Stafford and everything that falls in place, we have a really good opportunity to kind of get back where we got last year. That opportunity is not the same with Jimmy G. You and I can tell people that even the 5 years ago, Jimmy G, you know, there's a limit to him. So that's not great shakes. But yeah, have you been following any of the other stuff going on in the NFC West?
I mean, and it as a, you know, I've had, you know, obviously aging people in my family who have had back problems. It doesn't sound great, you know, when you're talking about a quarterback and back issues. It's not great news for him. Now, again, they sound like they are just, it's an overabundance of caution. And I you want to talk about coach speak. Sean McVay has me not trusting my line eye, because he sounds like he really, really believes that Jimmy G is can be the answer. And I just, like you say, I just know that not to be the case. But he talks a good game, you know. And I guess what else is he going to say? Is it that if Matt Stafford is not here, we are sunk? I mean, I guess you can't say that necessarily, but I don't know. I don't know how you can have been watch the 49ers and then watch the Raiders and believe that Jimmy is the answer to anything other than who's a great hang at strip clubs in the NFL. I mean,
ran my guy Davante Adams out of town, and he wasn't even on the team anymore.
Jimmy G is he's a lot of things, but yeah, that I don't know about you winning anything significant with him. And then I really like the Cardinals this year. I had my first fantasy draft was today, and I am clearly a lot higher on Kyler than the people in my league were, because I was able to get him like in the 10th round. And I just think that it sets up really well for that. I think the Cardinals, and it's crazy because they're the Cardinals, but I just think they set up really, really well. And I think that they are going to be heard from in the NFC West this year. They got a lot of good pieces. McBride, you know, I know a lot of people took Marvin Harrison Jr. early last year, and they were disappointed with him. You know, there was a lot of disappointment with him relative to his draft position, but to try to make it out that he like stunk last year was that it just wasn't the case. He had a good rookie season. Now, he didn't, if you, you know, drafted him in the top 12, no, he did not pay off that ADP. But, you know, I don't know why you were drafting a rookie that high.
He wasn't Neighbors, and that's who he's always going to be compared to.
Yeah, and that was a, you know, I just, Neighbors was just really, and you're right, that I think that is where he pales in comparison, because it's not like the Neighbors situation was any great shakes either in terms of his offensive line and his quarterback. You know, he was catching passes from Danny DeVito at one point, but but he was really, really good, and he didn't pay off. Marv didn't pay off like that, but I think that I'm not ready to say that that's who he is as a player, because if you are a nerd, a lot of the advanced metrics were really good for him. And I was listening to somebody on the Ringer fantasy podcast show, and he was like, basically what they were asking him to do is just kind of go out there and win, that they weren't really scheming him any kind of looks. It was just lining him up outside and, you know, you just go win, which is it's kind of tough for a rookie to come into a league and do that. And yeah, so I'm hoping, or they're hoping, and I'm hoping now, since Kyler is my quarterback, that their scheme is a tad bit more inventive this season. The Seattle, their defense looks like it could be really good, but their offense, I'm just not a Sam Darnold truther. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. And I think that he was in, he couldn't have been in a better situation that he was in last season. And I just, I don't know that, that Seattle is going to provide, you know, they've got Clint Kubiak, which a lot of people who follow offensive football say that he is a good play caller, and obviously the offense is good. And I, you know, I don't know how much Cooper Kupp has left. So it, there's a lot that has to go right in Seattle for that situation, for them to be, I think they're the last place team in the West. And then, you know, like you say, it's with the Rams, man, they looked good at the end of last season. But if Matt Stafford misses any time at all, because Stafford, love him or hate him, he's that guy that for one start, he can look like the best quarterback in the league for one game. Now, consistency is something else, but if you tell me, if you were to tell me that, you know, Matt Stafford went out there, if they had beat the Eagles, it would not have been a shock because they had them on the ropes. They really,
it was a great game.
But if his back is broke, his spinal, it's a problem.
No, I mean, especially
reference to Mike Tyson. Shout out Mike Tyson.
Big
spinal.
When Crystal and I were dating very early on, I had a back spasm. When I lifted heavier weights, you know, 5-6 years ago, I would randomly get these like crippling back spasms where I like could literally was on the floor. And so it would take me like 5 minutes to work through it just to kind of get upright. And I had texted her. I was like, yeah, my back is broken, spinal. And she was like, she was like, oh, do we need to call the ambulance? And I was like, no, I'm just kidding. That's like a Mike Tyson thing. So now whenever I mention any sort of soreness, I'll tell her that my back is broken. And she remembers that time. Before we get out of here, we're going a little shorter this weekend. And we'll be back next weekend with the Chargers. And we hope to have one other thing that I don't want to mention because we're still sort of figuring it out. But before we get out of here, so Terry McLaurin, Micah Parsons, these big time holdouts. Who else is holding out? Are they the main two?
They're the main two.
Just the idea of the way the NFL salary cap works and how you get your money and X, Y, and Z. Like Washington is, if you're a Washington fan, you're thinking like, man, we have like a nice little opportunity here for 3 to 5 years with Daniels and you know, with the run that they were on last year. And Terry McLaurin also sees that. He's like, yep, we sure do. And you're going to need me. And you know, Micah Parsons, this is like a historical Jerry Jones thing where, you know, it's like the summer of Jerry. It's all about the summer of Jerry until the fall season starts and football starts. Then he wants his team to be put back together. But do you sense either of those guys shaking their way to other teams, or is this just they're going to sign at the last minute and be ready for week one?
Yeah, I you know, obviously it goes without saying that I'm 100% pro player.
Yeah.
But I can see Washington's side of it. You know, Terry McLaurin is like 31 years old. And do they want to give him, and he, you know, but again, he's not asking for Chase and Jefferson money. He's asking for St. Brown and Ayuk money, which is not out of line. And like you say, from his standpoint, he sees the fact that, you know, the hope is high in Washington right now with Daniels and whatnot. And they, are not the same team, you know, as much as I love Debo. None of what they have planned works without McLaurin.
Yeah.
They just, you know, you're not going to be able to slot Luke McCaffrey into that McLaurin role and think that you're going to get the same return. So for them to get where they need to go or want to go, they need him. And he knows that. And I know that they don't, they're going to have to hold their nose and give him the kind of guaranteed money that they want to give him. Because when, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, we're talking, he'll be 33, 34, which is not ideal, yeah. You know, but, you know, it, they're going to, you know, the fans there in Washington have not had anything to really cheer about for a long time. And it's, there's not going to be a whole lot of sympathy for Adam Peters and Josh Harris if they don't get this guy in there for week one. And then Jerry, you know, that's just crazy when he admits to the fact that he's trying to generate buzz for his team with the nonsense that he's striving to do. It's just that is, it's bizarre. You know, obviously any of us that watch him could have guessed that that was what he was doing, but for him to say the quiet part out loud is just, was just, is just really bizarre, and had none of that has really anything to do with winning. And yep. Maybe that's why they find themselves where they have found themselves for the past 30 years. They're one of the most popular teams in professional sports. And, you know, the people at ESPN will tell you that, you know, why do they talk about them as much as they do? Is because when they talk about them, people don't change their channel. So he's not wrong that controversy as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys is good for business, but I don't know that it's good for winning. And if I'm a Cowboy fan, which I'm the opposite of, you know,
keep talking, Jerry. Really,
yeah, exactly. I'd be pissed if I was a Cowboy fan, but as a Niner fan, I think he's doing a great job. I think that he should just continue to sow controversy and soap opera and drama. Just do that, and let's see how that translates to wins and losses.
Well, we're gonna shut it down here, but I will say before we get out of here, after watching Jake Moody make 4 to 5 field goals, if our season is on the line, and he lines up for 59-yard field goal, he's kicking it in the tunnel, man. I still don't believe it. He's got it. He's prove us wrong, Jake. Prove us wrong, because I still get nervous in this only preseason, and I'm nervous watching you kick field goals.
Oh, man. And I mean, because like you say, he missed that 53-yarder horribly, and that 26-yarder did everything but miss. But, you know, he made the 59-yarder, and that's great, and everything is forgotten. But again, like you say, I thought they were
going to put him on their shoulders, by the way, when he made that.
I still can't get over the fact that hell, that game that we went to where it was like Kyle was like, nah, I'm not doing this. we're just going on fourth down. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be back next week, and we'll see about the other thing that I was mentioning. We hope to have something special, but we kind of got to play it by ear. But all right, for Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.